All those folks that think it's going to be all harps in heaven, nice, quiet, you know, laid-back music, I'm not so sure. All right. Let's have you grab 1 Chronicles 27. And if you will, keep your thumb there for a minute. Let's begin in Proverbs. Proverbs 17. There are 8 or 10 verses we could read in Proverbs. We're not gonna. Proverbs 17. We'll begin there. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I know you want a friend, and you want your friendship to be a nice, mellow, huggy, nice thing. But the Bible says a brother is born for adversity. Maybe it's a family brother, but maybe it's a spiritual brother. Look in your Bibles in Proverbs 27. And again, in many places it could turn. Proverbs 27 says in verse 6, you can keep this in mind for a little bit later when we start preaching, but faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Joel Osteen verses. Somebody else maybe. Proverbs 27, look at verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Down in verse 17 then. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now with that said, back to 1 Chronicles 27. I want to look at David's friends here tonight. And some of these that are listed are turned out good, some of them not so good. But these are companions and fellow friends of David. Verse 33. Ahithophel was the king's counselor, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. After Ahithophel was Jehoiada the son of Benaiah, and Abiathar, and the general of the king's army was Joab. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we thank you tonight for what we've already gotten a chance to enjoy, and thoroughly enjoyed it. Appreciate when the Holy Spirit shows up to enjoy the song service as well. We pray that you'll bless us here tonight as we've preached already this morning and enjoyed that. Pray to do somebody some good. Father, pray if somebody here was lost that you'd deal with their hearts about our need for salvation. Tonight, Lord, we turn to something a little more Christian, I guess, in nature. And I pray you might help us to think about these things carefully. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, like I said, I've turned to the life of David here. You didn't read much about David yet. But it's interesting the groupings of men that David gathered around him. When you study somebody's life, think about, you know, Dr. Ruckman or somebody like that. And going back through the years now, my knowledge of him for something like 30 years, there have been a lot of people that have come and gone. And a lot have come and stayed and been friends. A lot have gone and betrayed and not been friends and so on and so forth. And so it's kind of interesting to look at the long view of a guy's life. Most of you have been in church here for a long time. You've been a Christian for a decent amount of time. And so you've seen folks come and go, and you've probably enjoyed the backlash of a sharp tongue somewhere along the way from a friend that wasn't as much of a friend as you thought he was. Well, I want to talk to you a little while about David's friends here tonight. We can say some stuff in general, first of all. First of all, I like to say I'm glad for a friend for sinners. Glad for Jesus Christ. There was a verse that we didn't read that we could have, but there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for a friend that showed up and showed a sinner some grace. Amen? And God knows that we need that. But God also knows that you need friends in this life as well. Even the world knows that friends are important. And sometimes the friends in the world are utter backbiters. Sometimes they're loyal past where they should be. And you don't need any friends that will be loyal to you past where you should be or where they should be. Because there comes a time you might have to break off with a friend on the grounds of principle. And it's not good to have a friend that's just loyal just to be loyal for no other higher reason or gain. I'd like to say furthermore that when you got saved, your friends were probably one of the first issues that the Lord wanted to deal with you. Maybe your sins were your mouth or your drinking or whatever else. But I am sure that somewhere near the top of the list, the Holy Spirit had His concerns about who your friends were. I know it was the case with me. Friends can be a great stumbling block. The companion of fools shall be destroyed, the Bible says. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know these verses. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, not just in marriage, but in friendships. And so, I mean, I believe that the wrong kind of friends can destroy your life. I believe the wrong kind of companions that gradually take you down can destroy a Christian entirely. I'm not talking about getting them off in hell. I am talking about ruining their Christian life. And so I said, like I said, the Lord is very interested in your friendships. If you're a young person here, the Lord is extraordinarily interested in your friendships, more interested in them than you are, although you probably won't believe that. There's probably a friend that you're clinging to for the sake of friendship and not for the sake of trying to influence them towards the Lord. Now, I'll just tell you, the Lord's more concerned about your friends, probably, than you are. But friends come pretty close behind salvation and food and water and air as being some of the most important things that you've got. I say that when I say that they're on the list of necessities. Now, I do not believe that the church is a social club. Okay? I think if you're coming to church for something besides the truth, you're coming for the wrong reason. And the number of people that are in your particular age demographic is really not all that relevant. And don't get me wrong, we'll do what we can for you. But the truth of the matter is, if you're coming to church for anything less than the truth preached, if you're coming for some social drama or some friendship-making club, somewhere along the way you're going to get suckered in and you're probably going to leave disappointed. Because honestly, that's the wrong reason to come to church. If you find your wife in church, if you find your very best friend forever in church, well, good for you. And I hope that you do. That's part of what we're trying to do and all that kind of thing. My best friends, probably in life beyond some other preachers that I know, are sitting in this room tonight. And so, without making the church a social club, this is the one of the most important places that you can be. So I am concerned about folks that are loosey-goosey with what they do with their church. Especially if they are absolutely certain they've found the right one. If they've found one that preaches the book that they believe and preaches the truth that they know is right, and then they're flippant about coming, I question what's going on there. But we're not talking about church attendance, we're talking about friends, aren't we? I want to preach to you tonight about David's friends. Some of David's friends were undesirable, and we know it. For instance, there was Jonadab, who was Amnon's friend that got him off in very deep trouble and gave some of the worst advice any man could ever give. I mean, pretend you're sick She can come in and nurse you. Just shoot the guy in the head. That's one of the worst things that ever happened. Abiathar was one of David's friends. He was a lifelong friend, but he revolted and he followed Adonijah in time. Joab was a lifelong friend and, by the way, a kinsman of David, and he wound up going after Adonijah as well. Ahithophel was a companion, and he followed Absalom in time. Abishai, again, was a kinsman, a family friend, a longtime friend. Abishai's problem was he wanted to kill everybody that got in the way. Not really the kind of friend that you need. Shimei was a friend when David was on top, but cursed him when he got down. And that's not the kind of friend you need either. Abner and Jonathan were friends that both fell in battle. And you'll have some of those along the way too. Maybe you already have. Man. But they're an interesting mix of qualities when you start studying the men that were by David and stuck by David. And frankly, it tells us a couple things. The first thing is not, I suppose, all that surprising. There are, believe it or not, are some qualities you should look for in a friend. And of these different friends, I'm not saying that one man or one woman can't actually have multiple of these characteristics. Well, that's a kind of a friend you would seek. But there's another side to that blade, because it's also the kind of friend you should be. And that gets a little dicier sometimes. Anyway, let me take you first of all. I'll just take you over to 1 Kings chapter 1. Let's look at a handful of David's friends. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 1. You do know somebody that friends you on Facebook is not necessarily your friend, right? And you know that somebody that unfriends you, as if that's a real verb. It's like Google. Somebody that unfriends you is not necessarily your enemy either. Right? 1 Kings chapter 1. If you'll go down, this passage is about Adonijah's rebellion out from under David. And Absalom is dead, and Adonijah has moved himself into a position where he thinks that he can be king. And it says in verse 10, when he gathers his little ambassage together to anoint him, he's got some of David's, what David thought were loyal men around him that came and joined him. It said in verse 10, though, but Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, his brother, that is, Adonijah's brother, he called not. They didn't get called to the party. I wonder why. I call your attention to Nathan to start with. Nathan the prophet. Now, I'll jump ahead. You'll see this soon enough, but Nathan was one of David's true and enduring friends. Nathan was a prophet. Nathan was a man of God. Now, when I say man of God, I'm not talking about the average fundamentalist man of God who plasters the shingle over the door, and because he has a shingle over the door, he's the man of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody that knows God. I'm talking about somebody that God possesses. Somebody that's sold out. Somebody that you don't have to worry about their motives all the time. Nathan. Not trying to connive something out of David. Not trying to exploit his position and his friendship with David to get something. Not wanting something from you. His allegiance is to God first and foremost and primarily before you. Now, I just want you to know something. You need a friend like that. You need a Nathan. And Nathan was a man of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, when David wanted, decided out of the goodness of his heart and out of genuine desire that he wanted to build a God, a house, Nathan was the one that was there and heard David out and said, "Do according to your own heart." And then later the Lord came to Nathan and said, "Go back and tell him that's not what I want done. In fact, instead of him building me a house, I'm going to build him a house." But again, Nathan was there representing God's position for good or ill with David. In 2 Samuel 12, it was Nathan that comes in after the Uriah-Bathsheba conspiracy and rebukes David, takes the Lord's side on things. That's Nathan. That's the man of God. That's the man that God possesses. That's the man that'll tell you what God thinks regardless of whether you like it or not, and in spite of your friendship, if necessary. In 1 Kings chapter 1, here in this passage, after Adonijah has plotted for a while, it's Nathan that gets to go in conjunction with Bathsheba and tell David what's really going on, that another one of David's sons is going down. Now, folks, David always knew Nathan's perspective, where he was coming from. Nathan was always coming from God's position. You need a friend like that. In fact, if you can find more than one, get more than one. You know, Nathan dashed David's dreams for what David wanted to do, and yet gave him the news at the same time of the blessings that God had for him. "I'm not going to let you build me a house. In fact, I'm going to build you one." Not something David expected. Nathan was the one that stood and exposed David's sin and then informed him of the grounds of forgiveness. You need a friend like that. He's a friend of friends. You need a friend that's right with God. You need a friend that's more spiritual than you are. You need a friend that loves more the truth more than he loves you, more than he loves your feelings. I didn't intend for it to get this quiet, but you know, somebody whose judgment you can trust, somebody who you know is not out to jab you. If you do have a personal issue between you, you know that when he comes and speaks to you, that he's not just trying to hurt you, He's coming from God's perspective. Faithful, the Bible says, are the wounds of a friend. Now, the backside of this thing, ladies and gentlemen, is that it's not just the kind of friend that you need to see. It's the kind of friend you need to be. Are you a Nathan? Are you in a position with God to be a Nathan to somebody that needs a Nathan? It's worthwhile to think about. Nathan never forsook David. And buddy, when it came time for Adonijah to call to the meeting those that would support him and anoint him king, man, brother, Nathan got left out. You know why? Because everybody knew where Nathan stood. And Nathan wasn't having nothing to do with it. And I just want to say, you need a friend like that. And I don't know where you're going to find one like that in the average mainline church. I don't know where you're going to find one like that that's spending his time in the English Standard Version. Somebody doesn't know enough Scripture to fill a thimble. I don't know. I think they're going to fly a flag around you and make pretense and put on a show. But the real question that I have is, do you have a friend that knows God? In fact, are you one that knows God? Let me point you to another kind of friend that David had. Let me take you to 2 Samuel for a second. We're going to be back and forth some here. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. And in the chapter that highlights David's mighty men that David had, You find down starting in verse 20, 2 Samuel 23:20. A fellow that keeps showing up over and over with David. 2 Samuel 23:20. Can I retreat for a moment and say that in the first 20 years of my life, I never had a friend like Nathan. I didn't. I certainly wasn't one to anybody. I had a girl at she's now my age. She's a middle-aged lady at my niece's wedding in Texas here this last September, and she's one of my schoolmates. I didn't expect to see her there, but did, and recognized her, and we talked, and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, Kyle, I was so glad to hear that you're a preacher," and all da 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 da. She said, "You were always the one that we looked to in high school to do the right thing." And I'm thinking back to high school, and that was not what I was interested in. So I'm not sure what planet she arrived from that night. But I was never a friend like Nathan. You couldn't have paid me to speak the Word of God in school. I didn't have a friend like him. I certainly wasn't one. And I want to say that in the first 20 years of my life, I certainly didn't have a Benaiah, nor was I one to anybody. In 2 Samuel 23, verse 20, "And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab, went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit in the time of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man, and the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff, plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and slew him with his own spear. These things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He had a name among three mighty men." He had a name among three mighty men. "He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three." So he wasn't the very best fighter among David's champions, but he was up there. Benaiah, he was a fighter. He was a warrior. I never had a friend that was a fighter. I never had a friend that was in the battle. I never had a friend that was a warrior. I've been saved since I was 10 years old. And for the first 10 years of my Christian life, I certainly wasn't a fighter. I certainly wasn't a warrior. But this guy was in the battle. This guy would go to war for God. This guy, I mean, Nathan would stand and tell you what was right. He would be a companion. He would be a man of God. And I don't question that those two things cross somewhere. But Benaiah, if he got a focus on the enemy and God wanted the guy dead, the guy was dead. And I don't know how you feel about it. And I know that we're not talking here about the weapon, a carnal weaponry or anything like that. But I just want to say, I never knew somebody in the fight before I was 20 plus years old. I certainly was not in the fight until after I was 20 plus years old. Nathan had insight. Nathan had good perspective. Benaiah bore scars. Benaiah bare the sword. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 10, he's the second guy that was not invited to Adonijah's revolt. Adonijah did not dare invite Nathan, did not dare invite Benaiah. "Don't call those guys. Don't send an invitation to them. I don't want them here." I wonder why. I wonder why. Look in 1 Kings 1 and go over to verse 36. 1 Kings 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And David gets wind of this revolt, and he makes immediate moves to put Solomon in place. David is old and washed up and has just kind of lost grips with things, and so he's going to get Solomon put in place and goes and tells Benaiah, verse 35, "Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, Solomon. And I have anointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." And Benaiah, here he is, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, Amen. The Lord God of my lord the king, say so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord the king, talking about David, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord King David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. I mean, Benaiah, David says, I want Solomon in. And Benaiah said, that's fine with me. I'll kill anybody that doesn't like it. Benaiah was a warrior. Benaiah was a fighter. Benaiah was called upon in time to execute Adonijah and to execute Joab and to execute Shimei. He was a guy that you'd want beside you if you had to go clean up a mess. But he was a fighter. He didn't mind getting bloody. Didn't mind getting filthy. In fact, he didn't even mind getting wounded. He's the guy that you want with you. If you need advice, if you need somebody to pray, you want Nathan. If you want somebody to fight, you need Benaiah. I never had anybody like that till after I was 20 years old, till after I'd been saved for over 10 years. Then I stumbled upon a bunch of guys running around Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, led by an old codger. I found somebody that looked to me like Nathan. I found somebody that looked to me kind of like Benaiah. He never killed anybody, but he called them names. I said, what's the point, Brother Stevens? Well, I never had anybody like that until I was 21 or 22 years old. And I certainly was not that to anybody. Janet comes up to me and says, oh, we always look to you to do the right thing. You just don't have any idea, girl. I said, Jana, I wasn't trying to do right. I said, I was saved. Because she's gotten saved. So we were chatting about this at the reception. And I said, I wasn't right with God. She said, well, we never would have known it. Well, I knew it. I knew it. It's a friend that'll inspire you. He's a friend that'll fight for you. He's a warrior. He'll pray. And he'll stand beside you and help you clean up a mess. You got a friend like that? This is a good place to start cultivating them if you don't. I wouldn't go down to the Elks Lodge if I were you. I wouldn't go down to the Masonic Lodge if I were you. But I wonder if you're that kind of friend. Not a lot of fun to help somebody clean up a mess. But I wonder if that's the kind of friend you are. Look, if you will, to somebody else. Let's look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. The whole Absalom thing is in the middle of its sordid soap opera. David decides to abdicate the throne and does. And down in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17, the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was far off. All his servants passed on beside him. And all the Cherethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men. Now the Gittites were Philistines. They were the people out of whom Goliath came. So these were mercenary fighters that would have at one point been the enemies of David and Israel. But those Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, that's where Gittites are from, Gath, Philistines, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place. Abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday. These mercenary soldiers, you just arrived yesterday. You don't even know what's going on. This, I cannot reasonably ask you to fight this fight. I know you've come to be our soldiers, but I can't even ask you to fight. Verse 20, whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. You're excused. You're dismissed. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Man, Ittai the Gittite was a friend. And he was a faithful man. If there was something to be said, he's a faithful man. He's a loyal man. I can take you to one other place. This action that he took paid off for him, if you're looking at promotion, because in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 2, when they're ready to go to battle and take the kingdom back after some things have happened. Verse 1, David numbered the people that were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, not to be unexpected, and the third part under the hand of Abishai, a son of Zeruiah, another mighty man, a fighter, the guy that's willing to kill just about anything that walks. Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. Here is Ittai the Gittite, only been around a few days, and he gets a third of the army. Why? Because he's loyal. Because he's loyal. Because he's faithful. Loyal to God, loyal to David, loyal to the cause. Now, you probably have bad friends that'll be loyal and that'll be faithful. I know people that should have walked away from some friendships a long time ago, but they call themselves loyal friends and faithful friends, but it's not helping their friend. They're just helping their friend stay crippled. They're helping their friend stay in sin. They may be contributing to the downfall of their friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I wonder how faithful friends are that you choose. You choose them because they're faithful to God? You choose them because they're faithful to a cause? Or do you choose them because they're faithful to you? Have you swallowed the hook, the line, and the sinker that says, I'm what matters and loyal to me, and being my friend is what matters, no matter whether mama and daddy, and no matter whether the preacher or the deacon is right, they'll be loyal to me because I'm their friend. They should have dumped you a long time ago, or you should have dumped them. Are you that kind of friend? Are you the kind of friend that's persnickety, and when things go good, things are good? But when things go bad, meow. You see, Ittai the Gittite was faithful. He was so faithful that David saw it and gave him a third of the army. It's a remarkable thing. You know, the Lord. We were taught in school that the Lord honors faith, sure, but that the Lord honors faithfulness through a lot of years as much as He honors anything else. And one of the really wonderful lessons that I learned in school was not as much the Bible and doctrine, because frankly I was bookish and I could have gotten that reading books. But what I was taught was that the ministry in the Christian life is a battle. And it's not all fun and games, and don't buy into the Jack Hyle stuff and don't buy into the Joel Osteen stuff, although Joel Osteen wasn't around then. But it's a battle, and it's a fight. And it's going to be a major undertaking for you just to stay faithful and loyal to God for a long time. And if you will, you'll see things happen. Like the music tonight. Taking a while to get there, right? taking a while to get folks where they have a great time singing in church. My point, ladies and gentlemen, is I wonder what kind of friend you are. And I wonder what kind of friends you seek. Because some folks come to church and they want what they want, no matter what kind of church it is. And I wonder what kind of friends they find here. And I wonder what kind of friends you are. There's Nathan. There's Benaiah. Nathan, the man of God. Benaiah, he's a fighter. He's a warrior. Ittai, he's faithful. He's loyal. Let's look at somebody else. Let's look at 1 Chronicles 27. 1 Chronicles 27. First Chronicles 27, 33. Again, this list that we read early. Verse 33. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. And the Bible says, and Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. He was the king's companion. Now, I know what you think of as a friend, what a friendship. And most folks think of friendships as being companionable. What you're looking for is a companion. You're looking for somebody to walk with you and converse with you and dialogue with you and share with you. It's companionship. It's what most folks mean when they say friendship. It's interesting that with that comes another thing. Look in 2 Samuel 15 once again. And Hushai was not just a penny-waste guy that was David's courtly friend who David could go and tell all of his woes to, and Hushai would pat him on the shoulder and converse with him and comfort him. It's not like that. Because 2 Samuel chapter 15, if you'll go back over there, back to our conspiracy, 2 Samuel 15, and David is, again, in flight, abdicated the throne, and his chief problem is a friend, or someone that he would have called a friend. In verse 31, O Lord, I pray Thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel unto foolishness. Because, man, in those days when Ahithophel gave counsel, he was usually so right, it was as good as inquiring at the oracle of God. But he says in verse 32, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, behold, Hushai the Archite, that would be the king's companion, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head, unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me. But if thou return to the city and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant hitherto, so will I now also be thy servant. Then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. David sent his companion on a very dangerous mission indeed. His boy, Hushai, from the start, in fact, Absalom questions him about it a little later. What are you doing here? He said, well, as I served your father the king, I'm here to serve you because what I serve is the king. And that really wasn't the case. Hushai was David's friend. Hushai was David's companion. But it wasn't just a Facebook friend. It wasn't just somebody that would share their frappe with you and pat you on the hand and tell you what you want to hear. That's not the kind of friend. That wasn't that kind of companionship. I'll give you a hint at that companionship as it looks to you. I don't know what kind of friends you seek. I don't know what you think of as friendship in some cases. I imagine that for some here, that friendship revolves around lots of long talks on the phone and Facebooking and sharing pictures and stuff like that. But I dare say that in the Bible, friendship looks a little different. Companionship looks a little different. Look in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. Trusted enough and reliable enough to send back as a spy to help defeat the counsel of Ahithophel, David's friend that betrayed him. Look in Philippians chapter 2, Verse 25. What kind of friend are you? What kind of friend do you seek? What kind of companion do you want? Verse 25, yet I suppose it necessary to ascend to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. But he was a companion in labor. Look for a friend to Facebook with? Or do you look for a friend to work with for the Lord? Look in your Bibles in Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Said back there in Proverbs 17 that a brother in Christ is born for adversity. Born to adversity. Revelation 1 and verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. I wonder if your friendships, I know that you want to sit across a table with coffee and pour out all of your heart to your friend who always listens and always has good advice and all those things. But I wonder if you have a friend in tribulation, a companion in tribulation. And I wonder if that tribulation doesn't have anything to do with boys and girls and little social soap operas. I wonder if it has to do with something you've done for the Lord, tribulation that comes because you've kicked the devil in the shin. I wonder what kind of companionship you seek. I wonder what kind of companion you are. Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I just think that that friendship in a Bible-believing church looks different than your average junior high school. And so, God bless all of you that do something worthwhile on Facebook. But Facebook, to me, looks like junior high school. Petty, nonsensical, crossing the line, junk. And you call them friends. And you friend them or unfriend them. That's not friendship. That's not companionship. And I wonder if what you're looking for in church is anything different. I hope it is. Look in Psalm 119 and verse 63. Psalm 119. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. There's a good friend. There's a good companion. There's Hushai the Archite. I got another one for you. You old married coots. Nobody said anything there. I noticed that. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. Not careful, you'll be married for 20 or 30 or 35 or 40 years, and you'll have lost something. Say, yeah, I lost the spark. No, it's not the spark. Look in Malachi 2:14 to remind you of something. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet she is thy companion. What'd you marry her for, dude? What'd you marry him for, ma'am? So he could stay buff and retire a hunk? Well, that wasn't realistic. Didn't you desire companionship? The Bible says there that she is thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. I'd suggest being a companion. I'd suggest being careful who I chose as a companion. Amen? Hushai the Archite is a companion. Let me point you to somebody else. 2 Samuel chapter 17. 2 Samuel 17. Now we've talked about Nathan, the man of God. Benaiah, the warrior. Ittai, he's faithful, loyal. Hushai, a companion. Now there's this fella, 2 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm having trouble getting to it. 2 Samuel 17. Again, back at the soap opera, David is in flight. David's still in flight. And verse 26, 2 Samuel 17, 26. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. They're in pursuit of David. Came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite, I know that's all a mouthful, of Rogalim, brought beds and basins, earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine for David for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Those three men, and presumably their servants, brought to King David, probably the lowest day of his life, brought and ministered to him, brought him just food and water, a place to sleep, and some companionship. Now, let's ignore the first two guys for a moment. Let me have you look at Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim. I find that I can't track him in the Scriptures. I don't find any background on him. I know that he came with those other two guys and provided nourishment and provided rest and undoubtedly encouragement to David. So with that, I ask you, do you feed your friends? Do you refresh your friends? Do you take time out and extra effort to even carry them something material once in a while to be a help when they need ministry? Now, with that said, I have something to point out to you just a page or so over, 2 Samuel 19. David has now defeated Absalom. And now he's coming back to retain the throne again. And with him comes Barzillai the Gileadite. And you'll notice down in chapter 19 and verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogalim, went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan, wants to walk with him and back to his place of restoration. And now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. I find no prior reference to Barzillai. I can't figure out where he's from. But I know that he was an old man. You're never too old to try to help somebody. You're never too old to try to be a help and a nourishment, to give somebody some relief, to give them some rest. Furthermore, you're never too high to do it. Verse 32 again says there the last few words, he was a very great man. Apparently a very rich man. Well-heeled, some would say. And you know, when David offered him to come across and stay with him forever, it's funny because Barzillai had no ambition. You know, some folks will do something for you to get something from you. Not Barzillai. Look down in verse 33. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. So come and live with me. Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? My friendship to you would be more a burden than anything else. You're a young man. You're a warrior king. You need to go take care of your business. You don't owe me anything. I've done my part. I've been an encouragement. And that's all I wanted to do. Now, I don't know if you found somebody like that. Maybe more importantly, I wonder if you are somebody like that. Do you come to take or do you come to give? Now, I need to back up a minute because there's two other fellows I want to process through here before we start shutting this down. If you'll look back in 2 Samuel 17 where we found Barzillai, we skipped two guys. These two fellows, ladies and gentlemen, are very interesting men as friends. It says in verse 27, it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobi, see if you can remember the name, Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, where in the world did he come from? And Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, where did he come from? And I've already told you I couldn't track where Barzillai came from. But we can do better with Shobi and Maker. Take your Bible and notice this is a different kind of friend that came and ministered to David. Look in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And don't get ahead of me here. 2 Samuel 9:1, David said, David's just become king. He's looking for somebody to be a blessing to. David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I might show him kindness? Notice kindness. That I might show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. When they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. You know him as Mephibosheth, right? And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. And you know, the king sent down there to the house of Maker, the son of Amiel and Lodibar, and there he offered Mephibosheth shelter and a continual food, continual companionship at King David's table. And so Mephibosheth comes back to David's palace and lives there. And there came a day that things fell apart for David, and so David abdicated the throne, was on the run, essentially, across the countryside, and three guys show up, and David had invested kindness in this guy, in Mephibosheth. But Mephibosheth stayed in Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar's house. And so when David came to pick up Mephibosheth, Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, is standing off in the corner watching this thing happen and sees the kindness of David. So there came a day when David needed some kindness. Turns out he had sowed a crop that he was able to reap in a guy named Maker, the son of Amiel of Lodibar, who had watched him and his kindness towards Mephibosheth. I say that to say there's a kind of friend that you may ought to take careful count for. And that's somebody that you show kindness to when they need your help. And somebody that sees you invest kindness in somebody else. It's not bad for us Baptists to be kind. And there comes a day that you may need a little mercy yourself. And somebody shows up with a wheelbarrow full of grapes and bread and something to drink because they saw you show kindness to somebody that's not even kin to them. Now, there's somebody else here. You remember Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbath of the children of Ammon? He's the same thing. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And it's the same thing. This is the chapter after David shows kindness in front of Maker towards Mephibosheth. Look what happens in chapter 10. Came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. So Hanun, the son of Nahash, the king of the Ammonites. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search out the city and spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun took the counsel of his counselors and took these guys and shaved off half their beards and cut their clothes off so they were showing their backsides as they walked down the streets. Not a kind return. But while Hanun did that, apparently his brother, Shobi, was standing behind the curtain and watched David's counselors come in and attempt to comfort and sympathize with Hanun for his father's death. And so when the day came, in spite of Hanun's ill treatment of David's messengers, when the day came that David was on the run, Hanun's brother, Shobi, was one of the first ones in line to load up the ox carts and get David some help and some encouragement. Somebody that David invested kindness in. So, how you doing? I know somebody showed me kindness somewhere along the way. My first year in Bible school, my mom died in the fall, just before Thanksgiving. And there was a brother and his wife. His name was Soche. And I didn't know him from Adam, but they invited me over for Thanksgiving. Somebody with no family couldn't afford to go back and all that kind of stuff. Folks, a little kindness goes a long way sometimes. And somewhere along the way, you can get it back, too. Because somewhere along the way, you're going to need it. Let me just point just a couple more things out for you. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, I already read the passage, you find a guy named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth became David's longtime friend. Mephibosheth was humble and lowly and frankly not quite whole. I wonder if you've bothered to befriend somebody that's not quite whole. Somebody that's weaker than you. Somebody who is not as stable as you. Somebody that's more emotional and in some ways not like you at all. But somebody that would benefit from your friendship because they're maybe not quite whole, weaker, more feeble than you. I bet somebody invested that in you somewhere along the way. What do you think? Mephibosheth. And then I have one last friend I want to talk about, 2 Samuel chapter 23. We've talked about the man of God, Nathan. We've talked about the warrior, Benaiah. We've talked about Ittai, the loyal one. Hushai the Archite, the companion. Barzillai the Gileadite, the guy we couldn't trace, showed up to rest and nourish David. Shobi and Maker both were men that David had invested kindness in. And when the day came that he needed somebody, those two guys showed up with Barzillai. Now, I just had one more thought along this line. 2 Samuel 23, go down to verse 14. Let's start with verse 13. And 30 chief, these are the mighty men, went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines were then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord." He says, "Boy, I wish I had a drink from the well of Bethlehem." And man, those three mighty men heard it, and they went and got David a drink of water. Now, those were three mighty men. They were David's friends, right? Now, I know that we are made kings and priests unto God. The problem that we have with our friendships is that we expect our friends to treat us like kings. And so we wish that every desire that we mention, that our friends would be like these mighty men that went and got us what we want. And yet I wonder, and I don't even know that that's legitimate in our case here, yet I wonder if you have been a second mile friend, somebody that hears somebody mention a desire or mention a need, and then you don't wait for somebody to bring you what you want. You go and get something that somebody else wants and needs. The second mile friend, these three guys, man, David said, "Oh, that I had a drink of water." And man, they went and got him a drink of water. Kill some guys to do it. I like it. But like I said, I don't really expect my friends to serve me like that. I mean, goodness gracious, my friends are a blessing enough. I don't need somebody to go risk their life and go walk the soles off their shoes to get me something petty. But I know people that expect that from their friends. I wonder if you have any of that in you. I wonder if you had mighty friends around you. I wonder if you would exploit them. I'm not trying to shame you. I'm just asking you to search your heart about something. Like I said, you come to be ministered to, or do you come to minister? You come to get a blessing, or do you come to give one? And there's room for a little bit of both. But it doesn't just go one way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Now, Lord, we thank you tonight.